Father, I have your word and I know it's true. I am what it says I am. I can do everything it says I can do. And I have everything it says I have. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's title is, By This They Will Know. If you would turn to John 13, 34 and 35. Subheading is Spiritual Maturity. Jesus is speaking here and he says, A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, they will all know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. The last couple months, I think our diaconate, Pastor Mike, has shared some wonderful words of encouragement to help us understand the season that we're about to enter into. We know that God has said there's a door for us, and we have to understand the season of our life. Look at what God has done. Jettison all the garbage and move forward. And in that, Ed did a wonderful job about the king. Holly did a really outstanding job about treachery and our loyalty towards the king. Pastor Mike exhorting us about worship the king. Dan exhorting us in worshiping the king. And Gomez very clearly explaining be, do, and have, and how we compromise ourselves in areas that for us to grow up, we have to really shave those areas of gray in order for us to move forward. Spiritual maturity is not something that we do. It's a process we go through. And if you can see what God is doing in your life, you should be able to see where He wants to take you. And where He wants to take you isn't by yourself. It's all of us. You see, be, do, and have has to deal with the individual. I have to be who God says I'm to be. I'm to do the things that God says to do, and I will have those rewards, those blessings that God says we will have. And He allows us some gray areas. He's not unmerciful to us. He loves us and He understands that as we mature, some of those things become distant to us. As we sang today, the world becomes distant as we fall in love with God all over and over again. But there is an area that I think we find ourselves being comfortable in. We may be, we may do, and we may have, but that is not the end. That is only the beginning for us as individuals. The next phase, or the next elevation that God wants to take us, requires us not to jettison be, do, and have, but to embrace the next phase of that. And the next phase, whether you understand it or not, is our vision mission statement. Who knows what that says? All right, Gomez.
Love people, love God,
love. Well, not in that order, but yes. Love God, love people, love life. And today I'm going to explain how that elevation comes into play and what is going to be required for us to exemplify this love, not only just here at Streams, but for those who still haven't heard yet. You see, the world is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to arise, of which that is us. And if we do not grow and become the sons and daughters, we are going to be the sons and daughters that are infantile. And you know how infants are. They want what they want. They don't care about if you lose sleep. They don't even care if you miss a meal. They want it now. They want attention now. And so what we have to understand is that God has had our undivided attention. He has allowed us to go through this process. But He's now asking us to grow past that. And the world is not interested in how much we know about Jesus. They don't even care about the doctrinal issues that's there that we could articulate and disseminate before them and all. They're looking for one thing. They're looking for love. And they want to see the reality of that love in us. Do we really love one another? Do we really love Jesus? Do we really love life? And what I have seen is the church loves God, and we're trying to love life, but we just don't want to love people. That gets messy. You know, our lives are kind of messed up. I don't know about you, but I look at mine. And Streams has not been brought forth in such a way that we just want you to feel good. The goal of Streams has always been not to learn about Jesus, but to become like Jesus, be Christ-like. And that's what a disciple is. It's Christ-likeness. And hopefully you're thinking about, well, am I being Christ-like? Am I doing what Christ says to do? Am I having the blessings that Christ guarantees? Hear me. He guarantees that if we do these things, we will have these things. That's a guarantee. But the goal isn't just being Christ-like. It's really allowing the unconditional love of God to come forth from us to each other and to a world that is dying to be loved. Amen? So the first part of this maturing is we have to go from a me center to a we center. We are in this together. And I think the word that God gave to Dan is very exemplative of that, that if you do not share what God is laying on your heart, how can we benefit from what God is speaking to you? And sometimes it may be personal that God is speaking to you, and that's okay. But most of the time, it's now speaking to His church. Because you see, we are the answer that He's left on this planet to really not only share the gospel verbally, but live this gospel collectively. Amen? So this process is now going to take on a greater meaning of we love God, we love people, and together we'll love life. And think about it. When you're by yourself, life is kind of boring. You're not fulfilled. You know, we have a lot of acquaintances that we know, but really, is there a genuine love where if I call on anybody in a moment's notice, they would drop what they're doing to help me. I think that's what Ed and Holly are expressing in that love, that you guys are doing that very thing. That's being Christ-like. But the Lord is asking us the same question that he asked Peter in John 21. And he said to him, "Do you love me, Peter?" Do we love him? That's the first question. Do we really love God? And what I've found is there's only three possibilities that we could answer this. Because the question can be broken down. Do you love me more than all these other men and women? In other words, do I love God supremely over Ed and Holly or Jess or Irene or Pastor Mike and Miss Suzette? Do I love him supremely above them? Now, I'm not asking you. I'm asking you to listen and ask these questions of yourself in your personal closets. The next one is, do you love me more than you love than these men and women love me? It may sound like it's the same thing, but it's not. How do I fit in this love? Does everyone love God more and I just skate in? Or am I elbowing my way through to be at the front to express my love to him? And finally, do you love me more than stuff? Stuff is a problem because that's how Satan works in our lives. And to answer any of these questions, or even answer the question, do I love God? The only way I can answer it is from a position of being broken. Turn to Galatians 5. Verse 22. And we'll read 22, 23, and 24. When you're there, raise your hand. Okay. Paul's writing here and he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Have you been broken? You see, this stuff is in us already. God has to break us, much the same as the alabaster jar was broken, that the woman had perfumed Jesus before his death. And I think what happens sometimes is that we want all this stuff, but we don't want God to break us. But brokenness is central to our life because that's where compassion comes from. And if I'm not compassionate towards my brothers and sisters, I'm not going to have compassion for those who haven't heard the gospel. Because the way they hear the gospel is through our expressions to each other. Do I love you? Do I love God? Do I love people? Or do I want to remain selfish and self-centered and utilize the resources of everybody else, but not sacrifice? Sacrifice is an element of brokenness. Jesus exhorts us to take care of his lambs, to feed them, to care for his sheep, to feed them. And true shepherds make sure that happens first before their needs are met. And you can read Ezekiel 34 and see what God says about the shepherds who don't. I take very serious the call that God has upon my life and where he's taken me. But I want you to know, I love you. Many of you know and have experienced that instantaneous thing that when I call pastor, do you have to worry about me coming? I'm there. I stop what I'm doing because you are that important to God. And if you are that important to God, then what I'm doing is not important. That is the barometer of integrity, character, love. Now, I've been pondering the last couple months on two scriptures, Galatians 5:22-26, and also 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Love. I've been pondering it, and really, you know, since Pastor Intensive, I've really been having God really work on my heart about the one thing. What is that one thing that we do better than any other church? I haven't had an answer yet. I don't have an answer to it because I'm still pondering these things. But it's interesting that in Galatians, that if I am not walking after the Spirit, according to verse 26, I am conceited, I am provoking, and I am envying one another. And some of us don't even realize we're doing that. Because I love you, but I want what you got. Well, it's a process. You have to be willing to go through the process to grow up, to have what God wants to give you. God is not angry with us. He loves us. But there is a process of maturing that has to take place in every believer's life. And sometimes we meet it and we graduate to the next level. And sometimes we don't. But these are personal questions that I'm asking myself, of the ministry, of where I'm at, where we're going, and how are we going to get there? You see, it's not me, because what got us here was me. What's going to take us to the next level is we. Not the game. But all of us. I want us to focus on one aspect today. In Galatians 22, I want us to focus on kindness. And I'm going to spend the next couple of weeks talking about kindness. The Greek word for kindness is krestostes. C-H-R-E-S-T-O-T-E-S. Krestostes. It is an action. Kindness is not just what we express. It is a very active ingredient, much the same as God has been kind towards us, where he says he causes the rain to fall on the just and unjust. He causes the sunshine to shine upon the saints and the ain'ts. Christosis is the action of acting charitable towards others as God has done towards us. It is taking the initiative to respond to needs of others by the leading of the Holy Spirit, which falls in line with, are we hearing from God? God may be stirring something in your heart that you're not really sure of, that you need to bounce it off of one of us. We're not here to hinder you. We're here to help you gain clarity and direction to what God wants to do through you. Everything that pertains to life is contained within us. And kindness brings life. That's why it's called streams of life. There are various streams that bring life. Everything we do at the end should bring life. Everywhere that Jesus walked, life happened. Kindness is the fruit of the Spirit. And one thing about fruit, it takes time. It brings peace. There's a quietness about it. You don't know that it's happening, but it is happening. It is labor-free and effortless. You don't produce it. Just like the gifts. You don't produce them. They happen. It's life. It comes out of a life of love. It flows from the streams of the Spirit. And if the same Spirit that dwells in you dwells in me, it's the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead. It's life. It's eternal life. The opposite of that, in recognizing where it doesn't produce life, is our will. We will to be kind to someone. Recognized by frustration, anger. It's a lot of effort and energy that's expended to do this. God doesn't want us to expend energy uselessly. He tells us we can't do anything without Him. We can't be anything without Him. So why do we try? We should just let it happen. As God speaks to me, I just let Him do it. And believe me, I was one of those doers. Really. What got us here was because I was doing the things that God said to do, but I was an extreme example. And I burnt the candle at both ends, got sick. I have learned since that time not to start well off in the Spirit, but end up into works. Let God be God and find out what it is that He wants me to do and then just do what He tells me to do. Let it happen. It's not labor intensive, because when it becomes labor intensive, we have to do something. We have to be somewhere. We have had this going on or that going on. What happens is the enemy gets our priorities askewed. And we miss God. Because after all, I gotta do this. I gotta be here. I gotta help that one. I need to serve this. Did God really say that? Did God really tell you? See, let us not get caught up in the Martha Mary syndrome. Let us choose the best thing. Let's sit at His feet and listen to His word, receive love, receive life, and dispense it. I wanted to be with Ed and Holly to help them. But I learned a real important lesson yesterday. Or Friday night. Mentally, I'm 20 years old, but physically, I'm a wreck. But I had fun, and hopefully the kids had fun, and they could see a side of me that not many see. I love life. I love what God's doing. I love having fun. But those who want to circumvent the process and say, I love God and I love life, but don't love people, generally say things like this, and all of us have heard this. Talk about Jesus, and they say, me and Jesus, we're fine. I don't need the church. Have you heard that? All the church wants is my money. We've heard that. I hear it all the time. I do. Me and Jesus are good. I'm not into organized religion. Have you heard that? That's all from a person who is trying to circumvent the process. Because you can't love God and love life without loving people. That's what we are social beings. God created us for each other. And sometimes we can't be there. And it's okay to say, look, I can't be there. And we have to be okay with that. Why? Because what we do is we set people free from unrealistic expectations, which creates frustration, which causes agita in us. And then Satan comes in and starts putting things in our head, accusing the character of our brothers and sisters. When all we have to say is, well, praise God. Praise God. I would rather someone come and tell me that they can't do something than tell me that they're going to do something and never do it. Really. I mean, being a pastor is not being a rocket scientist. Just tell me what you're going to do. I'll sit back and watch. That's it. That's simple. Let me show you how this elevation takes place. The fruit of the Spirit. B leads us to love God individually. But the fruit that is produced is Godward. It's love. It's peace. It's joy. That's what's produced when we just focus. I can't tell you how many times I'm so down on stuff that when I just start worshiping God and loving on Him, He loves me back. He starts cracking jokes. Yeah, God likes to crack jokes. He made me. Okay. Oh. But He cracks jokes. He makes me laugh. Something happens that I begin to enjoy what's going on. And it's like that pressure is alleviated. And too many of us want to live under that. I'm here to tell you that's not God. That's us. That's us. The second is do. Love people is the elevation. This is fruit of the Spirit towards my fellow man. It's long suffering or being patient with each other. It's extending kindness. Having goodness. I could tell my kids to be kind, but unless I'm exemplifying that through an action, it doesn't mean anything. Right? Jen, I want you to be kind to your sister, Rashima. Okay. You know it's an action. That's all you know right now. I haven't really given you examples of how that's supposed to look. That'll be next week. We'll look at that. But doing, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be kindly to people. I can be long-suffering with people. And most pastors are. I can show goodness to people. I can do these things. Why? Because Christ dwells in me. And He says, I can. Because it's Him doing it, not me. To have is to love life. The elevation. The fruit of it is self-worth. It's looking at us. It's having faith. It's having a meekness. It's having a life self-controlled. It is being disciplined by the Lord. Can you see how that we mix these things up? We when we're young and in the Lord and novices with the Word, what we do is we pick and choose and say, well, I can do this, I can have that, and all this. But do you understand the maturing of this process? It produces this fruit to God, to each other, and to me. No part of the body is forgotten. And these ingredients that the Holy Spirit distributes is for the body, not for the individual. As I said, kindness is an action towards our fellow human beings. Not just our brothers and sisters, but to even those who haven't heard and are still far away from God. And the world is going to hell in a handbasket. Why? Well, let's look at Baltimore. Murder rate is up 800% since the incident with the fellow who was killed by the police. And believe me, if they are guilty, and they, I'm not passing judgment, but they should get the full weight of the law thrown against them. Okay? It doesn't matter if it's a black life or a white life or a purple life or whatever. A life is a life. Period. Every life is important. And we have to be on God's side to see it clearly. It's a shame what had happened. But what happens is the agents of selfishness and discord, hostility, anarchy are stirring the pot. And that is why the murder rate is so high. It's even to a place where those who are paid to protect and serve are afraid to go in because if they do their job, all this has happened, and they don't want to end up going to court. They just want to do their job to protect people from the criminal. When we try to circumvent the process, there is a hole that is in each of us that only Jesus can fill. And we've heard it, you know, it's very elementary all before, but it's true. You don't have a hole in your heart. Jesus has filled your spirit. What you have is the inability to release him to do what he wants to do, and that's touch lives, to bring life. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. God understands it. But that hole that's within each and every one of us, we need to be broken in order for God to pour out. It's kind of like that black hole that's in the universe that sucks in, that light can't in itself can't escape. Well, there's a black hole in there that's keeping Jesus from coming out. And it's our will that is in control of this black hole. We may feel that we're failures. We may feel that we're inadequate and insecure and all. That's part of the fallen nature. We may have failed, but we are not failures. We're not. God, I've looked in the Word. I can't find it where God says you're nothing but filthy failures. He doesn't say that to us. He says you're conquerors. You're more than conquerors. You're kings and priests. He's created a life for you. A good life. One that's filled with abundance. Filled with good things. The problem is, we don't want to believe him because we're still stuck on stupid. And being stupid, I'm referring to we have to do this. No, it's allowing God to break us and say, not my will, Father, your will. What we see today as we look at our society spinning out of control is a people that have no manners, no morals, and no misconception of being rude to others. We have plenty of that going on. I don't know if you're aware, there was a 7-year-old that was shot in Boston this past week. And nobody was outraged. Nobody was outraged that this child, who was innocent, was shot in the leg. Thank God he wasn't killed. We as a people need to rise up and stir the consciousness of this society that is totally anti-God, totally anti-Holy Spirit, and is flowing at the troughs of the Antichrist spirit. But we can't do it until we recognize within ourselves that we're withholding Jesus from the world. And part of that withholding from Jesus is kindness. Next week, what we're going to do is we're going to look at practical ways of kindness. We're going to look at random acts of kindness that all of us can do, but we choose not to. And I'll give you an example. I remember about 10, 15 years ago, it was a limousine traveling from Philadelphia, because the airport wasn't there yet. It was still a military base in Atlantic City. It was traveling from Philadelphia on its way to Atlantic City. Had a flat tire. And of course, the chauffeur's calling his company to send somebody out. And they waited for about 35 minutes. Nothing happened. The fellow was going to work. Stopped. Changed the tire. Went on his way. Didn't take anything gratuitous or anything. He just said, "Look, you know, I'm on my way to work. Saw that you had a need. I stopped. Helped you. Be on your way." When he got home from work that night, he found out his house was paid for. See, he fixed the tire on Donald Trump's limousine. And Donald Trump was so taken by that. And believe me and Donald Trump, I don't happen to agree with a whole lot about Donald Trump. But I do agree that he was grateful enough. He took the tag number of that guy's vehicle, made his contacts, paid the mortgage off on his house as a thank you. That was God. A little kindness. And I'm not saying that you should be looking for the next flat tire and stuff like that. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is be open to the Holy Spirit. And let Him direct your path. Okay? But that's just one act of kindness. And all of us have been benefactors of God's kindness. Let us now be receptacles of pouring out, not only on the family of God, but also on those who haven't heard. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your word. I thank You for the attentiveness of Your people, Lord God. I ask, God, that You elevate our thinking so that our spirits would grow, that our spirits would do those things that You've said we can do. God, as we mature, that You would lead us by Your Spirit, that we would not be afraid, God, but we would be bold as lions, seeing the goodness that You have put in our lives and the kindness that You have shown towards us that we can show to others. God, I pray that even our understanding of the fruit of the Spirit and walking after the Spirit have now taken some of us a little higher to see how this process is, O God. God, we want to bring You glory. We want to bring You honor. We want to express Your love in practical ways, God. Father, to You be all glory and honor and praise. And thank You for the opportunities that You put before us. Help us to see them and seize them, God, to win them to You, that Your house would be full, and that the wedding feast would be joyous. I ask you, bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.